This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Well, all right. What is going on, everybody? How we doing? Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. We got a very full house.
Yes, we do.
I love when we have full houses. Full houses are good. And by the way, I will readily admit that I, speaking of full house, I still look at that. Which girl? If you had to choose one of the twins, which would it be? If you had to choose one of the twins, which one would it be?
Can we choose both?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
At the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, twins.
I mean.
Okay, there we go. They're twins.
That's why it's called Full House.
It is called. And have you?
I don't even know what you're talking about. The show Full House.
Mary-Kate. Ashley.
Did they go through a weird phase in their 20s and 30s?
Yeah. I hope so. All right. So, Full House today, we got, lots of folks here. We got Kate. What's up, Kate? How are you? Yay, welcome. You got to turn around and show Kate. And there is Kate, the lovely Kate, who would be Mel Ethan Cutler's better half, no doubt at all about that, which means that Mel Ethan Cutler actually is the other half that's with us here today. So, what is up, my man, Mel?
Hey, thank you guys for having me on the show. Appreciate being here.
Yeah,
super
man.
Super excited.
Absolutely. Along with the lovely Mary Goulet and Rich Ote in the hash. How you doing, Mary?
Doing well.
Good. All right. So lots of interesting things going on, not the least of which is, well, first and foremost, for those who don't know Mel, and because you're here, we're going to do things a little bit differently, because typically in the first segment, if you've listened to Reinvention Radio before, then you know we kind of just shoot the shit a little bit and talk about what's going on in the world. So, but let's do this. Because you're here, you're going to join in the convo. Give people an opportunity to understand who you are, what you do, and what's got you psyched for the rest of 2016 right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, who am I?
Who are you?
I'm a guy who was definitely unemployable, had to find my own path. Didn't have much support growing up, and I realized that the only path to financial freedom and time freedom was owning your own business. Now, So many people, they think they know how to do it, but they don't, and then they turn their business into a job, and then that's what it ends up being for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And when I was growing up, I was born to Russian immigrants, and so
really,
yeah.
What part of Russia do you know?
Both my parents, yeah. My mom's from Odessa.
Where is Odessa in the scheme of things?
In the Ukraine.
Nice.
And then my dad was from St. Petersburg.
Really?
Yeah.
When did they come here?
They came to Canada. They immigrated from Russia to Canada. I was born in Canada, so
were
I'm
you?
Actually Canadian. A.
That's where the
A comes from,
right?
And then as a baby, I was actually diagnosed with a genetic disease called cystic fibrosis.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. And actually, I'm missing the luncheon today to be here with you guys.
It's the one fundraiser of the year where they raise money for cystic fibrosis, and you chose to be here with us. That is so cool. Thank you for that,
that's
Mel.
How much I love you guys.
That is so sweet. We love you as well.
Yeah.
So wait, I don't think I know. Do you know, Mary? What's cystic fibrosis in terms of like how it affects people? I've heard the name, but I can't tell you what it does. Do you know?
It's a muscular degeneration, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, it actually affects the lungs and the digestive system.
Oh, it does.
So like every time I eat, I take enzymes to help digest food. When I woke up this morning, I strapped on a vest that literally shakes me to be able to cough up the stuff in my lungs.
So it still stays in there. It's being created, mucus is being created in your lungs.
It's basic cystic
from
fibrosis.
Sleeping.
Is just excess mucus, right? And so that excess mucus, even though it's actually trying to protect you, it ends up killing you. Right?
Oh, God. So what do you do to treat that?
Yeah, so there's multiple things. And I'm very fortunate because I have a mild case of it. But 15 years ago, kids weren't living past 13 years old.
Oh, yeah. God, really?
Wow. These kids, and I've been hospitalized a couple times, I mean, they spend their lives in the hospital. And it's so crazy because they can still put a smile on their face day to day.
Yeah.
Wow, that is unreal. So at what point did you know, like, did your parents, I mean, this is the thing you as a baby, does it affect you?
You're born with it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're born with it.
Yeah.
So how did...
I would cry nonstop. I'd drive my parents crazy, and they didn't know what was wrong.
So Mary, maybe you have cystic fibrosis. Because you're crying all the time.
Oh, no, yeah, no, sorry. Okay. That was stupid.
Yeah. Sorry. So wait, so you were crying all the time because...
Crying all the time. I wasn't gaining weight. That's a key sign. Wasn't gaining weight.
Wow.
And so they brought me back to the hospital. And if you can imagine all the negative emotions my parents were going through, thinking, what did we do wrong or what's wrong or all the fear. And which, by the way, not only affects our personal relationships, but also affects us when we grow and start a business.
Yeah.
So they brought me back to the hospital. They did a sweat chloride test on me, and they said, "Hey, you know, your baby has this genetic dis-ease."
Wow. So from a very young age, you had to take. So is it can they treat it through medicine, or is it just?
Yeah. There's a few treatments. So one is. There's a couple aerosol treatments that you can do from a saline solution, right, to breathe that in, to just other drugs that open up the lungs.
Exercise?
Exercise is good.
Meditation, anything that gets you to breathe deeply.
Yes.
To try and...
Like a steam room, like a sauna, or I think sauna yeah. does the opposite, but steam will open you up, right?
Totally. Actually, oh, I eucalyptus? Did that this morning. As a matter of fact, Kate, the lovely, my wife.
The lovely Kate.
She took her magical essential oils in the shower today and eucalyptus.
You love that
shower
stuff.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, my kid's got kind of like mild asthma. And we have one of those little, I don't know, thingies that.
Humidifier?
Something like that, right? And you put in the eucalyptus oil and then it smells up the whole room and. I think it smells kind of funky, but evidently it helped. You like eucalyptus?
I love you do. Eucalyptus.
My, my wife is like, she's one of those people who go into a room and like cleanse it.
Yeah, sage.
Sage. That's the thing.
That smells like pot.
Well, no, pot smells good. Sage smells like, I
don't like, I'm the opposite. I don't like the smell of pot, but I like the smell of sage.
Really? Oh, man. So she'll go into a house and she'll be like, oh, yeah, I feel something in this house. And then she'll go in and she'll like, you know, cleanse
Sage,
it.
Yeah. And she'll do a dance, and then she puts on the outfit, and she does a little song and a chant.
Yes, okay. And. Yes, and. All right, so, very cool. All right, so, first and foremost, what year did they come to Canada, and then what year did they come to the States? Because you're flat out first generation. So you are first generation, which is rare. There aren't, do you know any first generation people? Rich?
No, I was going to say, I thought Gary Vee for a second. I was going to say the secret to success is being a Russian immigrant.
Is being a Russian immigrant, or that.
But he's not. He is too. Yeah.
So he would be first generation.
Yeah, his parents came over.
His parents came,
No, he was born there. He came at a very young age. Mm. But I don't know any first generation.
So your grandparents came here, Mary, and then your dad was born here.
Correct.
Okay, so that would make, make your dad first generation. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, very cool. And
Quebec.
So... Quebec. Ooh, who knew? All right. So at what point did you guys come then from Canada to the States? How old were you at that point?
When I was 4 years old, they said, enough of the snow, enough of the cold winters.
Smart people.
Let's go somewhere warm. And so thankfully, honestly, I thank them every single day. Like they decided to fly south and west all the way. To beautiful, sunny Southern California.
So at that point, so you were raised in Orange County? Is that, and you're in Orange County now is still?
Yes.
All right, very smart people. Now, your parents were much smarter than I am, clearly, because it took me 44 years to figure out that, like, you can actually leave. Like, I didn't realize this, evidently, for decades, that, like, if you don't like where you live... You can actually leave. I woke up one morning and I was like, my God, like I am not actually chained to this place. So like I can leave if I want.
Did you have like a bam paradigm shift? Boom, I'm leaving. We're out of here.
Yeah, basically that's kind of what happened. It was.
Because my friends did that from Seattle.
Yeah.
One day they walked out of a restaurant and the husband turned to the wife and said, "We're gone. We're done. We're out of here. We're going back to San Diego."
Just literally like one of those light bulb moments. Like, yes. I'm done. Yeah, and I got to tell you, if I lived in Seattle, how is the suicide rate in Seattle not like through the roof? Like Vancouver, Seattle, I don't know. There are some people who like the gray and the rain and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't understand it personally because I did Chicago.
Today's weather's bugging me.
They're just inside working on businesses. Look at the businesses.
Well, I guess that's true, right? You know, it's just Amazon and Microsoft and whatnot. So
Boeing.
Boing.
Boing.
Boing. All right. So speaking.
So this is the caliber of the show you're at, Mel and Kate.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome.
That was Boeing.
Oh, is that what it is?
Airplane.
By the way, and Chicago pissed a lot of people off as far as Boeing goes. You can't call me right now. I'm doing things. So Boeing pissed a lot of people off when they moved from Seattle actually to Chicago. They moved their headquarters from Seattle to Chicago. No clue why they did that other than the fact that at the time Daley was the mayor. And I think he just kicked them like a lot of money. So, but given the choices, if I had Seattle or Chicago as an option, I don't think there's any doubt at all that I would end up in Chicago. But Chicago versus Southern California, that's a no-brainer for me. So welcome to Reinvention Radio. Glad you're here. Thank you. And so we're going to talk about business. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about making real money. And we're going to talk about things you spray in your throat, man. Yes. That is seriously cool. I didn't even know. See, you are a man of many, 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 many talents. I had no idea you were involved with so many different things. And that's what I want to get into as well, is talk about all of the various things that you are up to, not the least of which you're an author.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Why don't you tell people the name of the book that you've got out right now?
Absolutely. So after being a serial entrepreneur and starting companies and buying companies and selling companies, I decided to put those type of experiences and events and stories into a book. And the book is called Big Boom, How to Ignite Your Life, Blow Up Your Barriers, and Get Explosive Results in the Entrepreneur Revolution.
Ooh, I love the Entrepreneur Revolution.
But we need to cover those seven mistakes.
We're going to talk about seven mistakes. We're going to talk about business. We're going to talk about entrepreneurship. Talk about making money. We're talking about the big boom and all the revolution that we're going to do here with Mel Ethan Cutler here on Reinvention Radio. More right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self, learn to live with purpose and conviction, and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Olscher, along with Mary Gwilly Rissote. And we got Kate and Mel in the house. What's up, y'all?
In the house.
We're in the house. And by the way, thanks again to our sponsors, Ruffles Sour Cream and Onion Potato Chips
Mary
today.
Mary Gwilly.
Mary Gwilly, exactly. I didn't know this, but did you know that one serving, guess how many chips is in one serving?
20.
I don't want to hear.
8.
3.
11.
Yeah.
11 chips. 160 calories in 11 chips.
160?
So every chip that you eat is basically like 15 calories. That's scary.
Of good hydrogenated fats.
Yep. So you only have to do one marathon per bag.
Only one marathon per bag. So there you go. All right. So Mel, talk about, so you got the big boom. So we're talking about the Entrepreneur Revolution. First of all, what is the Entrepreneur Revolution in your way of thinking?
The Entrepreneur Revolution is not the type of revolutions that we've had in the past where, you know, the negative ones.
Yeah.
It's a positive
revolution.
Although
technically the revolutions may not have been negative, right? Because don't revolutions typically lead to something? They're painful at the time, but then they lead to better things, right?
Yes.
It's like the Mary Gwilly revolution. Like the better, see, it's the better Mary Gwilly now because you had a revolution and now the new form of you because you had to revolt against yourself. All right. So,
you got nothing there, Steve.
I got nothing. Okay, go.
Back to the entrepreneur revolution.
Got it.
It's a revolution from the inside out. So what it really is helping people tap into their value and realizing that they can solve a problem in the marketplace, bring it to the bring that solution to people who will spend money with them.
Sure.
And developing a business around your purpose and your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you create a business that you can build up to sell and exit? Mm-hmm. Because so many entrepreneurs, when I coach entrepreneurs, the number one thing that I tell them is that what I've seen is certain patterns. And that's all everything is in life, is just certain patterns. And you're either going to deny those patterns and say, no, that's not true, or you're going to be aware of them and you're going to make breakthroughs and changes. Is that entrepreneurs, the number one place they invest all their money is back into their business.
True.
So how do you actually ever realize that ROI? It's when you sell it. Mm-hmm. But no one is going to buy your business unless it is sellable.
And profitable. And you've got, so if you're always investing back into the business, or you're taking money out in salary, but I guess you could do something like the EBITDA, right? I mean, you can do it before all of those types of expenses. And that's one way to value the business. But when you coach your clients on creating a business that is saleable, what are the most important metrics that you teach them? Or at least you say, hey, think about these things.
Totally. There's eight total, but there's three major ones that I'll share right now, because I know we have a limited amount of time. And that is, one is you must have monopoly control. You must have some sort of monopoly control in the marketplace. What that means is, how is your product different and do people care? Those are two questions. How is your product different and do people care? Let's take a look at an example, Tesla. Tesla, if you look at their marketing, the number one thing that they push that makes them different than everybody else in the marketplace is zero emissions, anyone know what it is?
I know that they talk about their
carbon compromise. So zero emissions, zero compromise.
See how many of us own
we all have a Tesla.
Yeah, exactly.
Soon, very soon.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. If you go to their website right now, that's what's on there. It's not saying high performance. It's not saying made in California, mm-hmm. which are all, you know, it might be different. Made in California is different because what car is made in California? But do people actually care about that?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much. So the first thing is asking yourself, if you're selling a commodity, how the heck can you get out of that? How can you stop selling a commodity and how can you become different?
Mm-hmm.
So a commodity is something that's everyone's got. It's like gold, right? Why am I going to buy gold from you, a 1 ounce bar for $1,200, as opposed to going over here and buying gold for, you know, more? Why am I going to pay $1,500 for the same exact thing? I'm not going to do it. So for entrepreneurs, one of the deadliest mistakes that they make is they don't differentiate themselves and they sell their service as a commodity.
So how do you do that though? Because like there are so many like graphic designers, right? Like I know a number of people who are graphic designers, and some of them are like really good at what they do.
I'll give you the secret.
Yeah, because ostensibly these people are competing on price, right? I mean, you've got some folks who are really good at what they do, but there's a lot of people who are really good at creating designs and so on.
Isn't it the story behind it?
I don't know. Let's find out.
That's an element. So if you are selling right now based on price and you're basing your service and you're trying to beat prices like what Walmart does, you will be out of business in no time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazon and Walmart are going to crush you.
They'll crush you. You will not be able to sell your business and you're wasting your time, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's just my own thought.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how you do it. I'll give you an example right now.
Sure.
So a company that I'm a partner in, and a company that I'm coaching right now, they are a printing company. I'll give you an example.
A perfect example of a commodity-oriented business, for sure.
Everyone does printing. You want to print a flyer, you want to print the business card. It's a total commodity. So we looked at that business model and said, look, if you want to sell it in 5 to 7 years for a very nice multiple, 5x EBITDA, 5x the net revenue, which is totally doable, then you have to have monopoly control. You need to be different and they need to care. So how do you do that? Well, here's the number one key. If they're just selling business cards, if they're just selling flyers, if they're just selling that, they're just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens the moment you say, you know what, we're going to bundle The key word is bundle. We're going to package these services. We're going to say, we're going to focus on a niche. Let's say, for this example, we're focusing on the dental industry. And so when they go into a dental office, it's not where XYZ printing company. No, we are the dental printing company. We get you your smocks. We get you your business cards. We get you your forms. We get you everything in a bundle. So when you bundle something, mm-hmm. it helps you step out of a commodity into something much more unique.
Doesn't that actually, I mean, just playing devil's advocate here, but doesn't that actually reduce your margins at the end of the day?
Why would it do that?
It would increase them, I would think.
So in other words, if you were just saying, okay, here's product X, let's just call it a flyer. Here's product Y, let's call it a brochure. Here's a postcard, et cetera. You don't think that people are saying to themselves, well, geez, the postcard should cost X and the flyer should cost Y and the brochure should cost Z. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Why is it 2X?
No, they're not saying that because your customer needs to be based less as a transaction and more relational customer.
Mm-hmm.
They care more about convenience and quality than price. And mm-hmm. if they care more about price and they're doing like what you just said, which some will.
Sure.
They're not your customer.
Sure. And then how about going into a specific, like being that printer for the dental market or mm-hmm. being the printer specifically for the auto market or something of that nature? Is that a viable plan?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if for now till the next 5 years, if we only did dental business and got thousands of people, dental offices,
mm-hmm.
how can you imagine the company that would love to have access to 3,000 dental offices?
Yeah, well, there's probably other ways then to monetize
That's right.
that reach that move beyond just printing.
That's right.
Right,
and
because
so when somebody comes to buy you, it's either going to be a strategic buy, which that's what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
or it's just going to be a transactional buy.
Yeah.
And what you want is the strategic buy because then you get 5 times, you get 10 time multiple.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the graphic designer as an example, perhaps then that graphic designer specializes in something like logos or specializes
That's right.
in something like, you know, maybe brochures or something of that nature, or maybe they specialize in, just like we're talking about here with the dentistry, maybe they specialize in a particular industry
yeah.
and serving that, like real estate, right? Like maybe the graphic design firm focuses simply on real estate agents
right.
and brokers and offices or something of that nature.
Totally.
Because then wouldn't a real estate conglomerate of some sort potentially have an interest in then, because it's like you move outside of the traditional pool of buyers at that point. Because now it's not just this design-oriented company. Now it's someone who has relationships, and so like you're saying, they're actually buying into that industry.
That's right. Now, here's another huge tip, huge, huge tip, and I know we're dropping some great wisdom here, is every product should also have a service behind it. And every service-based business should have a product behind it.
Okay, so let's use this as an example. I know we're gonna have to go to break here in just a few, and we'll revisit this when we have to go to break here. But you've got a product called Vocal Ease. See, I didn't even know you had this. So you're a diversified guy, that kind of guy.
And this is a company. I'll never start up another company.
Okay,
this is just me. It's kind yeah. of in the phase I'm in right now. I'll only buy companies.
So this already existed.
This existed. This has been out on the market for 13 years,
wow.
serving singers and speakers. It's well known.
So
we have all sorts of like famous people.
Okay, so how did you determine the value of this company when you bought it?
Well, I looked at it and I realized that it was undervalued. Marketing sucked. Sales sucked. The people running the company, you know, their mindset wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that said to me is there's plenty of room for growth.
Okay.
Online wasn't selling.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner only was focused on one sales channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, look.
So just one vertical there. I mean, there was
yep.
a lot of other opportunities.
Totally. Because mm-hmm. There's a big difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner and then a technician.
Mm-hmm.
And in Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth.
Yeah.
Which if you haven't read, all of you guys should read it.
Yeah.
He talks about the technician and the person who is like the scientist or the person who is actually doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entrepreneurship. Just because, as a matter of fact, just because you're good at something, that's actually a reason not to start up the business.
Interesting.
Because then you're going to be in it and not on it.
Yep. All right. Very cool. So we're going to have to do this, which is take another break here on Reinvention Radio. And by the way, we're actually going to have Michael Gerber on the show. So that'll be kind of fun, kind of exciting. And hopefully he'll join us here in studio. More with Mel Cutler here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here. All right, let's ask the most important question that I've kind of been thinking about this like now for when I found out you were coming in studio. I was like, cool, Mel is coming in studio. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I knew that the first question that I had to ask you, which took me to the third segment to remember to ask you, how does it feel to have no hair, man?
Oh, yes.
What do you think about that, Kate? What do you think? Dang. What do you think?
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Mel had some hair. He had, like, he was a hair dude.
Luscious hair, like, down to here.
How long did it take you? Like, that, like, you grew it out for a long time.
Yeah, maybe 2 years.
And then how long did you have it long?
Yeah, for...
Yeah. Maybe 5 years? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it was long.
So 2 years to grow it, 5 years to have it, and then 30 seconds to cut it.
Yeah. You know, I had it long on the island. Actually, Kate and I met when we were on an island just north of Honduras. That's
really?
Actually how we met. That's a story nice. How we met.
How much was she?
Oh, that's
just
not
just
nice.
Jokes. I'm just jokes.
Priceless.
You're lucky. She's
okay, so we're
on the other side of the table.
Bring out the gloves.
Right. Whenever two or more boys are gathered, they turn into 12-year-olds.
It's true. That is true. That is true. All right, so you met on the island, and your hair was long, and she loved the long flowing locks, and she was like, "Ooh, I like that guy."
Yeah. And so kept it long. And then one day I just realized that I'm super attached to my hair.
Ooh.
Like
that, it was like, what's that guy? Samson, right? It was like a Samson thing. Your strength
and
confidence came from your hair.
I walked into my, the guy who cuts my hair. And,
why did you even have a barber? Like, cause you had long hair. Like, do you even need a barber when you have long hair?
You need like trimmer? A highly trained barber.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. See, these are the things I do not know about.
And then he's like, why don't we go for something different? And I'm like, no, I can't cut these.
I am not looking for the hair revolution right now at all. So
that's
not, yeah, the big boom, entrepreneur revolution, no hair revolution at that point. And so, obviously, he won. How did he win? Did he, buy you a drink at least?
It was it was just, like, a self-reflection where I'm like, wow, why don't I want to cut it? And that's actually one of the biggest, deadliest sins. Actually, it's the first one that we can talk about, and it's negative emotions. I realized I had fear of changing. I had the image in my head, like this was my identity.
Sure.
And when you have that, you're less flexible. And when you're less flexible, you don't achieve what you want.
So relating it back to entrepreneurship, then some business owners have their identity tied up into that business and they're less likely to change when change is needed. Because they're afraid of how their identity might be affected.
You got it. There's two very powerful words, maybe the most powerful, and that's I am. When somebody asks
Internet you, marketing, yeah.
What do you do? When
no,
somebody asks
not
you,
I am.
I am.
No, oh, I am.
We're going
got it.
Deep
Sorry.
Here, okay?
Yeah.
Let's dive deep. It's I am. So when somebody says, oh, well, what is it that you do? I am a doctor.
That
what do you do?
Like
I am a lawyer.
Okay.
Right? And when somebody says that, what they're actually doing is they're identifying with that.
Right.
Which that's not who they actually are.
Yeah.
But the moment you do that, then you put on the blinders. You're like a racehorse and you can only see one way till you get a coach, till you read a book, till you attend an event. And then those blinders can come off, because you have to become detached.
Mm-hmm.
The best entrepreneurs, they're detached. They maybe have an idea, they put the right people in place, and they trust those people to go out there and do what they need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Rich, actually, you had a question. We were talking about this over the break. What was your question for Mel?
Well, earlier you were mentioning the importance of passion, doing what you love in the entrepreneurship. And I've just seen so many examples of people who did what they love, and then next thing you know, they didn't like it anymore, right? Like the cook, they love to cook, and they start a restaurant, and they're like, what the hell did I do? Like, now I'm stuck in here.
All you gotta do is look at all the number, like the cupcake shops, right? It's like, you know, 50 million cupcake shops. It's like, I love baking in the kitchen. Well, okay, you love baking in the kitchen, doesn't mean you should open up a shop. Like, so you might be passionate about baking at home, but it doesn't always translate to a viable business idea or entity.
That's right.
The balancing act between the two. Because I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, back to the working on the business or in the business, if it's just around your passion only, it's also probably hard to sell to someone else. That might not be their passion.
That's right. And I'm not saying that it should be everybody's goal to sell your business, but it definitely should be your goal to set up your business to sell.
Mm-hmm.
When I did a 3-day event with Michael Gerber, actually, right here in La Jolla, and he said that if you have a business, if you love doing something, and he's a very contrarian type of thinker, he said that you actually shouldn't do that as your business. You should not do it. Because you're going to get attached. You're going to get too much in the business. And successful business owners, the ones who actually succeed where, you know, they build up a business when they hit whatever, 40, 50, 60 years old, they sell it and never have to work again.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that that company, if it relies on them, if they have all the relational capital with every single one of their clients, how is that going to transition? So when you sell a company, you want to think of what they're buying is not your past.
Yeah.
They're buying the future potential of the company, and they want something that's an annuity that has reoccurring revenue in it. That's another key. Create reoccurring revenue in your business.
Yeah. And so for a lot of folks who are in the coaching world, and there's a lot of folks, it's amazing. I don't even know if does anybody even own a business anymore, because it seems like all of the – that was weird, right? But it seems like it seems like all of the companies right now, at least in some of the circles that I run in, that is so weird. But there's, we'll get to that. All right. But what I'm seeing out there is that there are just so many coaches that it's like coaches coaching coaches on how to be coaches. There's no recurring revenue in that. Like every year, you've got to be on the hustle. I mean, month and quarter and year in, year out, you got to be on the hustle of getting new clients. So when you say recurring revenue, what do you mean?
What I mean is, for example, like that's a really good point. Somebody who's a coach, right? If you're listening and you're a coach, or really if you just have a service-based business, what you need to figure out is how to take your service and productize it. Remember, we were talking about turning a service into a product and a product into a service. Well,
yeah.
This is it right here. You take your service. Let's say you're a coach. You're, you know, a business coach. Well, what you do is you can take on one-on-one clients, but remember, your most finite resource you'll never get back is your time. So it doesn't even matter how much you charge. It's definitely not enough, because how can you put a price on your time?
Yeah.
So what you do, that's fine though. You know, you got to start somewhere. So you take a client on, and then what happens is you go into the recording studio, you go into the video studio, and you record the genius in your brain. You create some modules, maybe a PDF, a blueprint, whatever it might be, some transcripts. And what you do is you like, for example, I use a service called Kajabi. It's my friend Travis's company, and Kajabi is an online membership site. We're living in 2016.
True.
Steve, you guys know that, right? So everything can, as a matter of fact, everything can be done on your iPhone. Everything. You literally can record what you need to record, go upload it onto Kajabi, say, hey, I want to charge $29 a month. I want to charge $59. I want to charge $197 a month and create some sort of residual income. The beautiful thing about residual income, it doesn't actually matter how much. You just need to get into the habit of creating it, and then you can grow it.
Yeah. So if you're interested in signing up for Kajabi, just go to steveulcher.com/Kajabi, and we'll get you hooked up right now. Yeah. That's that'll be the plan on that.
Helps his Ferrari fund.
That would be my nonprofit. The Steve Ulcher Needs a New Ferrari nonprofit. Just if you want to donate to that, that's steveulcherneedsanewferrari.com as well. All right. So you've got 7 mistakes you were talking about, deadly mistakes that most entrepreneurs make. And I feel like we've been dancing around some of those, but just what have we covered and like how would you name those? And of those, so name the ones that we covered and then what haven't we covered yet?
Sure. So what we're talking about is blood in the water.
Mm.
If you have, and by the way, entrepreneurs, they make all of these mistakes. And by the way, there's way more than 7.
Yeah.
I've just outlined the 7 most impactful ones that today, after listening to this, you can make a change. The first one is understanding and being aware of your negative emotions. There's 5 of them. Fear, sadness, hurt, guilt. And there's a secret 5th one.
Yeah, I have all of those. So I win, right?
You win.
I win. That's yay. Right. I have them all. That's good.
We have them all.
Sadness, fear, guilt,
hurt,
shame, hurt.
And one more?
Embarrassment. I can just keep going. Should we? There's probably a lot more than 5.
Now, this is the thing. So
insecurity.
The key word here is the unwarranted emotion. So it's okay to have them. Mm-hmm. We all do. We're humans.
Yeah.
But when it's not okay is when we're sitting in front of somebody and we're going to hire them and a bunch of fear comes up. Or we have to fire somebody and we don't. Or we need to invest in, you know, some marketing but we don't because of fear or guilt or sadness or all these negative emotions based on past events we've had. We haven't gotten rid of them out of our subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's one that we've kind of danced around. So what, and we've talked about a number of different things, so I just want you to make sure that we just name those, and then I want to make sure that we cover all 7 before you know, we get to the end here. So what else have we covered, and what's left?
Oh, got it. So we've covered that, and the second biggest mistake is being aware of your limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have limiting beliefs. Do we believe that we can create a $1 million company?
Yeah.
Do you believe that...
Where do those beliefs come from? Like, why do some people believe that they can create a $1 million company when they have never done so before? Like, there's no justifiable reason why they should believe that they can do it if they haven't ever done it before. So why do some people have beliefs that limit them and then others have beliefs that really expand the opportunities that are available to them?
Totally. And the short answer to that long question is proximity. Proximity to the people around you. You will believe and you will take on the beliefs of the people that are closest to you. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is what are you doing about it?
Yeah, really, really good question. Okay, so let's revisit that after the break here. And then I know we've got some others that we want to cover in the 7 deadly mistakes and other things that entrepreneurs make here on Reinvention Radio. More after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All righty, righty. Welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Mel Cutler's in the house. What's up, babies? Yeah. Welcome. Rich O'Tay, Mary Goulet. And White Wade made an appearance. That's a good thing. I always like when White Wade's here. All right. So before the break, we were talking about some of the mistakes, some of those deadly-ish mistakes. But the other thing that we were talking about just here on break was about being able to create a system and being able to name that system. A lot of people don't take it to the point where they can actually say, this was the secret to my success. This was the path that I took to my success. And yet, if they were able to do that and then create that framework and name that framework, they would probably have a pretty hot product on their hands, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You'd be, if you're able to step away, what the goal is to be able to, you know, for entrepreneurs, we all have a bit of rebellion inside of us. And sometimes we start up the business for freedom and success. And when we do that, sometimes those don't mix, freedom and success, because you have to give up some freedom to really be successful. And so that's where self-sabotage comes in. And I've gone through that multiple times with many different companies. You know, you're just hearing about my successes. Really, I've had to move back into my parents' house 3 times.
Wow.
I've been in over $60,000 worth of debt that I had no clue how I was going to – car repossessed, house taken from me. I mean, I had to hit rock bottom to figure out, wow, okay, like I can't go any lower.
Yeah.
So from here on out, if I can look up, I can – get up, like the great Les Brown says.
Ooh, I like that.
Hungry.
Most people fail in life not because they aim too high and miss, but because they aim too low and hit.
Ooh,
that's Les Brown. Thank you. Yeah, that's our sponsor.
I like Les Brown.
You like that? That's a good one. All right, so first and foremost, let's give people an opportunity to, if they want to get in touch with you, where's the best place for folks to go?
Well, I have a special thing that we're doing, and if this message resonates with you at all, then you should do it. And that's get my book. And you can get it 100% for free. You just have to cover shipping, $7.95. So if any part of this message was like, wow, that's making total sense, and you want more, go to bigboombook.com. That's big B-O-O-M book.com. The book is free. Put in your information, just cover $7.95, and I'll ship you a copy. You'll love it.
Nice. All right, very cool. And for you personally, is there a Mel Cutler site or anything like that people should check out?
Yeah, really, just going to the bigboombook.com is the best place to go.
All right, very cool. So we were talking about the 7 deadly mistakes, and you were talking, you had another one that you wanted to cover there right before the break. So let's just get let's get back into that, because I hate it when we run out of time, but we're going to run out of time here pretty quickly. So what was the next one you wanted to cover?
So we covered negative emotions. We've covered limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
The first step to change is being aware that you have those limiting beliefs, and that may be the very weed in the garden that you need to pluck.
Yeah.
Now, there's certain tools and books and processes you can go through to help you get rid of negative emotions and limiting beliefs, like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is a tool I'm personally a fan of because it's really helped me and all the students that I coach. And once that happens, those are the two biggest mindset. When we talk about mindset, it's negative emotions, limiting beliefs, and creating a compelling, foreseeable future for yourself every single day. Mm. What you say to yourself and the pictures you hold in your head on a daily basis, along with your physiology, your body, how you show up, is what you become.
Mm.
And it just, the tendency is that if you're telling yourself crap, if you're envisioning negative pictures, and you're, you know, laying on the couch eating Cheetos all day, it's going to be very hard for you to be motivated, and it's going to be very easy for you to be in procrastination mode.
Yeah. Okay. So just so I'm clear on this, so I should stop telling myself I'm a loser. I should stop picturing fire and brimstone as my future, and I should stop eating Cheetos on the couch.
Yes.
Imagine.
Okay. Got it.
I need a new sponsor.
And I need a new sponsor, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, gotta go for a fitness spot. Isogenics. That's here we go. We're going to put that out into the universe. Isogenics will be our new sponsor. That's the plan there. All right. So that's cool. All right. So the vision, what else do people got to be thinking about?
Then we move out of the inner workings and more on the external workings. And we sales. So an effective sales funnel, an effective sales system, somebody that's doing the sales besides you.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want to hire 2 salespeople at a time, by the way. And why is that?
Yeah, was your really good question. Of course it was.
Competition. That's right. You always want a healthy competition. And you might be like, well, I don't have money to hire 2 salespeople. Well, the top best salespeople are going to love commission.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on commission, develop a system for them, and get them out there bringing you sales.
Mm-hmm.
So a sales system, most companies, they don't do it. And the person selling is the founder, is the owner. Well, if what happens when you get sick? You know, you want to know the number one reason why people sell their business? Health. Something traumatic happens to them, and they just can't do it.
Then it's a fire sale at that point.
Then it's a fire sale.
Yeah, so now we're taking whatever somebody's offering and basically somebody's picking it up on the cheap.
That's right. So are you going to plan or are you going to plan to fail? That's the question. Because it takes an average of 5 to 7 years to sell your company. So you have to make sure it's done properly.
You're saying from inception, it takes 5 to 7 years to get. You're saying from the time that you think about,
yes,
I'd like to sell my company.
That's right.
It's 5 to 7 years until somebody actually writes you a check.
That's right.
Okay.
That's why you got to get going.
That's a scary proposition. I know. I was like, I'm 5 years late. So I should have started 5 years ago, evidently. Okay, cool. So what else do you want to make sure that we cover here on the seven deadlies?
So the next deadliest sin, and this is number six, is not having effective marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the telltale signs that you will never sell your business is if you have one client that's more than 50% of your total revenue.
So, okay. So I did $2 in gross last year. So the $1 client, that's not good. I need at least three or four.
That's right. Because if this one, and sometimes
my game.
There's businesses that have one customer, one client. And you see this happen all the time.
Yeah.
And that one client says, you know what? We're just not doing business with you anymore. That company goes under.
Yeah. My grandfather was in the manufacturing business, and he actually made clothes for Sears. And when Sears started closing stores, I mean, that was his customer. And when Sears started closing stores, that pretty much threw him down the,
companies
down the crapper.
Companies you'd never imagine. So one of the one of our products, one of the companies that I own, it's called Vocalese. It's a vocal throat spray, all natural for musicians and singers. Well, our biggest customer is Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Right? But my job as an entrepreneur, as somebody savvy who says, look, what if Sports Chalet just went out of business?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
we're talking about multiple stores across the country. What if Guitar Center went out?
Yeah.
What would happen to Vocalese? Well, since the last year when we acquired it, we set up online funnels. You can go buy it online where before you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
We've set up other customers that are as big as Guitar Center.
Yeah,
and so
smart.
What it's doing is instead of standing on one leg, now you're standing on three legs, four legs, five legs.
Yeah,
okay,
smart.
That seems really like common sense. But some people just get so they can't see
they
the forest
blinded.
But for the trees.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Or overwhelmed.
Blinded. And that too. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because and I know we're going to have to wrap here, unfortunately, but a product like Vocalese, which is a great product, by the way, I've tasted it. I just used it. It's really, really good. So congrats on picking that up. It's an awesome product. But I would think that the margins on that have got to be exceptional, right? I mean, because it's basically a liquid, right? So you're combining some liquids, proprietary formula. So anyway, the bottom line being, if you're going to think about going into business, you've got to at least take some of those things into consideration. I will not use your lip gloss, but thank you for sharing Lippies. So this is a product line extension.
Extension.
Nice.
Right?
Okay,
so
very cool.
I do what I preach, and I preach what I do.
Right?
And
nice.
So we actually, when you go get the book at bigboombook.com, what we've had such a high demand of this type of information for entrepreneurs to be able to really break through in their business and to truly create a life where they're creating enough income to cover everything, plus, and it's not taking all the time. We developed a workshop, a 3-day event.
Yeah, what's the name of that? Because we got to give you a quick plug on that.
Sure. That event is called the Entrepreneur Revolution.
Entrepreneur Revolution.
You
very
can check
cool.
it out at entrerevolution.com, entrerevolution.com. It's an invite-only event. You have to apply for it, and the best of the best show up. And that's why I believe in proximity. I want the most serious, most powerful entrepreneurs in one room together.
Very cool. All right, Mel Cutler, a lot of fun here. Mary Goulet, Rich Rorte, White Wade. For the gang here, I'm Steve Ulsher. Go to bigboombook.com. Pick it up. We'll talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Ulsher, visit reinventionradio.com.